Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. A new day begins on FFC, Scott, but it's a pretty similar theme this time of year. And it's what you will find as guys get back in the facilities around their NFL organizations. They're back on the practice field for OTAs a couple of weeks ago and now mandatory minicamp. When people are together, that's when conversations happen, and that's when we get contract news and deals being done. We had that with Justin Jefferson, the discussion yesterday, and today, Scott, it's Christian McCaffrey with the San Francisco 49ers resetting the market for the running back position in the National Football League.
Yeah, I'm sure some NFL owners aren't too happy about the San Francisco 49ers, right? But as we talked yesterday, you know, when you're not paying a quarterback a gazillion dollars, and knock on wood, they're not right now with Brock Purdy. They will eventually, but until they do, and that's a couple more years, and, you know, they could throw out these contracts and be really nice and, you know, have players want to come to play to them and do the right thing, because they didn't have to do this. Had Christian McCaffrey locked in for two more years. And for a guy who's been, you know, injury prone, I'm a little surprised they did, but they did the right thing as far as the players are concerned, and now he's making a gazillion dollars, and maybe the NFL running back has been slighted anyway, Ben, so it's probably a good thing overall.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Scott, it's not the $35 million annually that Justin Jefferson got that is the highest for a non-quarterback in the history of the National Football League. It's $19 million for Run CMC, a two-year contract extension worth $38 million a year. Again, we go things based on annual averages here to figure out how you compare contracts across the league. That's $19 million per year annually, making him the highest paid running back in the National Football League once again. And Scott, he is the only running back in the National Football League that makes more than $15 million per year. If it is worth it for anybody at the running back spot, that is Run CMC. That is Christian McCaffrey, who actually hasn't really been injured for the most part during his time with San Francisco, unlike his final few years in Carolina. And Scott, it was a trade during the 2022 NFL season that has really only paid dividends for San Francisco with Christian McCaffrey on their team.
Yeah, really. You know, when you think about how good this guy is, and he's setting all the markets for money paid, this, that, what have you, in Carolina, didn't even get a number one. You know, they got a lot of picks and you know, whatever, but ultimately, did they even get one lousy first-round draft choice for him? No, they did not. So it's one of the many moves that the Carolina Panthers have made. It's why they have a new GM that, you know, kind of stick out like a sore thumb and say, man, how did we have this guy and we got rid of him and we didn't get a superstar player back? Really?
Yeah. And people looked at that trade, Scott, for Carolina and said, oh, we can make sense. McCaffrey's not happy here. We're building things down. We're picking things back up. It really hasn't been that huge success for the Panthers. I'm sure Bryce Young would like Christian McCaffrey in his offense. Yeah. I'm sure Dave Canales would like Christian McCaffrey in his offense. Instead, he is in San Francisco. So, Scott, we talked a lot about the Justin Jefferson deal and what it means for other wide receivers who might be up next, who is in line with J-Jet maybe to make nearly nearly $35 million per year. I don't really think there is a running back right now that will equal the salary that Christian McCaffrey is now making. I mentioned he is the only running back in the NFL that makes more than $15 million per year. Second highest paid running back around the National Football League, Alvin Kamara with New Orleans at $15 million per year. Jonathan Taylor, $14 million per year. That's third most in the National Football League. You would think it's maybe somebody down the line, like a Bijan Robinson, like a Jahmyr Gibbs, but the running back position at this moment, Scott, maybe not as dire of a conversation in terms of value and contracts as it was at this point just about a year ago.
Yeah, we had Saquon Barkley, we had Josh Jacobs, you know, all under contract and coming, trying to get more. So we had a bunch of guys then. You know, the issue hasn't changed really any. You know, great, knock yourself out, Christian McCaffrey. You know, and he probably is better. I'd have to go through all the positions. But percentage-wise, from one to two, he might have the biggest difference between the next guy in line with the $4 million more that he's making, $5 million over the next guy. But that said, it's still a dime a dozen position, unfortunately. There's just so many running backs. And unfortunately for the running backs, their shelf life is so short that by the time they're able to hit free agency with the NFL rules as they are, people kind of view them as, well, you know, you're 27 now, 28. You got, one or two more really good years, and we're not going to pay you 3-4 years guaranteed, you know, $20 million. You don't have to because the next guy is in line. You know, you spend third, fourth, fifth round draft choices up and down the NFL rosters of really good running backs. So the issue hasn't changed. Good for McCaffrey, but I don't think all of a sudden we're going to see a bunch of running backs making, you know, 10, 12, $14 million a year.
Right, and this offseason has been a decent one for the running backs, as Scott alluded to. Saquon Barkley, the deal in Philadelphia, that's a base salary of $12.6 million, but could be close to 14 based on incentives if it reaches its peak. Josh Jacobs, four-year deal, $48 million with the Green Bay Packers. That's $12 million a year, so it is getting slightly better. Of course, the franchise tag value, the overall value of the running back position, has taken a hit over the past, what you could say, 5 to 7 to 10 years in the National Football League, but we still are seeing those big deals. And for Christian McCaffrey, Scott, he's not just a running back. He does it all for this San Francisco offense. In his now 27 games with the 49ers, including the postseason the last 2 years, he has totaled more than 2,200 rushing yards, more than 1,000 receiving yards as well, and 31 total touchdowns. Of course, he had the 17-game touchdown streak come to a close last year in 2023. That tied an NFL record. Christian McCaffrey is worth every single penny for San Francisco.
Oh, absolutely. And you got to remember, you know, when they made that trade, San Francisco was a really good team. It's not like he went to a mediocre team and he kind of lifted them to a new level. No, he not only did he go on a really good team, but more importantly, which is why I bring it up, he took over that team. You know, he became the focal point, in which was a really, like I said, good football team. That's how important he is to that San Fran team. So, yeah, and listen, as long as he stays healthy, he's the best running back because he can do it all. He can run, he can catch, you know, you can use him on third downs, you can use him on first downs, you can use him down at the goal line, clearly, right? He's a touchdown machine. What's he had, like 17 straight games with a touchdown? So he gets his nose into the end zone. He's the best running back in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about that. But again, I don't think he's got, all of a sudden, are the James Conners of the world and the Aaron Jones, you know, the Tony Pollard's going to be getting $12, $13, $14 million? No, I don't think that.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen, Scott. We're not going to see a Jamar Chase that we could speculate would rival $35 million a year like Justin Jefferson. If a running back even gets $15 million and beyond moving forward, that would be a testament for the running back position in the National Football League. And, Scott, we'll talk more about Christian McCaffrey, his role with San Francisco, and the overall outlook for the 49ers. But, of course, the idea of keeping Christian McCaffrey in-house is the fact that you want to keep your superstars happy for a 49ers team very much still in their window of Super Bowl contention. And you still have Brock Purdy on his rookie deal, which even by rookie deal standards is pretty cheap in comparison to what a first-round contract would be. Of course, Brock Purdy, the final pick of the 2022 NFL draft. Anytime you have that, you can invest in the positions around him, maybe even spend up for those guys. But it is interesting, Scott, that Christian McCaffrey, who wasn't really on the radar as like, hey, I'm holding out a training camp or I'm in contract negotiations with his representation and San Francisco. But it is interesting because there's a wide receiver for the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, that by all reports wants a new deal as well with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, and if you're Ayuk, right, I'm sure you don't hold any resentment to McCaffrey himself, but are you right. saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, this guy's getting his money? He had 2 years left on his current contract. You didn't have to do this. So you're going out of your way to help him, appease him. What about me? You know, I'm the one that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Well, why can't I get my deal done?
Yeah, absolutely so. Absolutely so. We'll talk about the San Francisco 49ers more so, what their plan is the rest of the offseason, and the sky-high expectation once again in Santa Clara for this 49ers team, not just to reach the NFC Championship or get back to a Super Bowl, but finally take down that Lombardi Trophy. More of that conversation up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. So Scott, the San Francisco 49ers making Christian McCaffrey once again the highest paid running back in the National Football League, the only RB that makes more than $15 million per year. But we weren't really waiting this offseason, Scott, for this deal to come down the pipeline. There wasn't really even a conversation like we have had with many others, the quarterbacks that are in line for the extension, the wide receivers that might be looking for that new contract deal as well. And Christian McCaffrey, rightfully so, gets his payday from San Francisco. The guy on the Niners that we thought might be unhappy with his contract situation, that's Brandon Ayuk, who is yet to receive a deal, and there is still some speculation on what his future is by the Bay.
Yeah, why would you do that, right? I mean, even if you told McCaffrey, hey, listen, do me a favor. Right? Here's the deal. You can sign on the dotted line, but let's not make the announcement for another month or so. This way we can get the Ayuk deal done. We don't tick him off and this and that. But they didn't do that. So it's like you kind of throw it in Brandon's face of like, all right, yeah, if we want to do something, we'll do it. You know, I've always, you know, one of my, things I try and live by, there's a will, there's a way, man. You know, if you want to get it done, you get it done. It's as simple as that. You know, whether it's salary cap issues, I hear GMs and owners and whatever say, oh, we can't afford the guy. You know what? If you want the guy, you'll get it done. It's as simple as that. So they wanted to get it done for Christian McCaffrey, and they clearly at this point don't want to get it done for Ayuk. Now, Ayuk could be saying, I'm as good as Justin Jefferson, so I want $35 million a year. You know, what has he got to lose at this point? You know, I don't think he's realistically going to hold out all year. You know, might he miss a couple of days of training camp, whatever. You know, invest $1 million in fines to you know, gain an extra $4 or $5 million at the back end of a contract. That I expect, but ultimately, you know, he can ask for whatever he wants. He's got to show up this season and then maybe go from there.
For sure. And Scott, as we've discussed with a couple of wide receivers from this 2020 class, Justin Jefferson was a first round pick in 2020. He got his new deal. CeeDee Lamb, first round pick in 2020, expecting to get a contract extension at a point this offseason with Dallas. T. Higgins under the franchise tag, second round pick in 2020. That is why he had to be tagged this year and is no longer under contract, with his team picking up that fifth year option of it, what would have been a first round deal like we have with Lamb, Jefferson, and in this conversation, Brandon Ayuk, who was the 25th overall pick back in 2020 in the opening round. And Ayuk is not Justin Jefferson. I don't even think Brandon Ayuk necessarily is CeeDee Lamb, but Brandon Ayuk has been incredibly productive in his 4 years in San Francisco, especially the last two with Brock Purdy mainly at the helm. Over 1,000 receiving yards each of the past two seasons, 15 total receiving touchdowns the last 2 years, 7 in 2023, 8 more in 2022. Brandon Ayuk's been darn good. Is he that number one wide receiver that you look at, knowing that Deebo Samuel is there and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle? Maybe he doesn't get the shine or the notoriety in this 49ers offense because of all the talented pieces around. But Scott, much like we discussed with CMC, it's the same conversation with having Brock Purdy in his rookie deal. You can pay these guys before you need to pay Purdy. So it would seem that Ayuk would be in line if San Francisco wants to invest, if they want to invest. They also drafted Ricky Pearsall out of Florida with the second to last pick of this first round in the 2024 draft. Are they looking to move on and maybe not pay that steep payday for Ayuk? I don't think he's probably asking for Justin Jefferson money. That's 35 mil per year. But I think he's probably asking for close to 30, if not a little bit more. Of course, there are now four wide receivers in the National Football League that make $30 million per year on their contract extension. Justin Jefferson, 35. Amon-Ra St. Brown, a little bit more than 30. Tyreek Hill, a little bit more than 30. And then A.J. Brown at $32 million per year. I do think Scott, Brendan Ayuk is probably in the asking range of those prices.
I would think so, too. He's got to be asking for at least 30, right? That's why I said, Ben, even though it makes sense for the best guy theoretically to get paid and then we go from there, but ego-wise, yeah, and it is, the NFL's all about egos, right? At this point of the year, this isn't about scoring touchdowns and winning games and winning Super Bowl. This is about ego. So there's Ayuk saying, well, wait a minute, this guy's getting 35. Okay, I'm in the same draft class, drafted right along the same side of him. My production is there. Team is having a lot more success than Justin Jefferson's Minnesota Vikings ever had, so I want 35. I don't doubt for a second he's asking for 35 right now, knowing that he's probably going to settle for 30 or so, but even that, you know, is a lot of money. That is he that good? It is kind of weird. Like, he's gotten lost in the shuffle. Right? First, it was George Kittle making all the headlines, and then everyone got caught up at the Deebo Samuel because he can run, he can catch, and this and that. He wants a new contract. He wants to get paid as a wide receiver, not a running back. Then come Christian McCaffrey. Then you got the great story with Brock Purdy. And oh, by the way, all along the line, Brandon Ayuk has been like there, being the most productive guy maybe out of all those guys, yet he seemingly has taken a back seat in San Francisco. So I don't know if he gets that money, Ben. I really don't. They may just say, you know what, we're going to try and win this year, and then if we don't, okay, we can't pay everybody because they do have to eventually pay Brock Purdy. Yeah. So they're going to have to put 35, 40, whatever million aside salary cap-wise for him. So they can't pay all these guys top dollar, can they?
No, you're right, Scott. And we're starting to, I don't know if it's the same exact thing, but in Buffalo, for instance, Josh Allen has had his contract extension. But the way, and this is why we always throw in the caveat of how contracts are brokered, how deals are done, what those actual legal undertones look like and how these things are structured, not every contract is made equal. We talk about highest paid or top five highest paid, and we use the annual average salary. Josh Allen, as we shared yesterday, $46 million per year on average, 10th highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. That seems like a discount for Josh Allen. But Scott, the way that it works now in Buffalo, the cap hits for Josh Allen at the end of this contract extension or nearing the final few years of it really are on the rise starting this year and next year, which may have led to some internal discussions by Brandon Bean and the company in Buffalo starting to say, all right, it's probably not worth paying Stephon Diggs. It's probably not worth paying Gabe Davis, which has led to the reinforcements coming their way to Western New York. Always things to pay attention to, because if you invest now into Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, when it is time for Brock Purdy to get his, and frankly, he is going to get his regardless of what you think about Purdy's abilities, then you're going to be flirting with that salary cap. We'll talk more about this up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. A lot of focus on the San Francisco 49ers to start today's show after the payment of Christian McCaffrey, the two-year contract extension worth $38 million, and then some conversation about what might be next for the 49ers this offseason. Outside of that, Scott, whatever the decisions are this offseason, if Brandon Ayuk is back or if not, I don't really think is going to heavily influence the odds for San Francisco, where the Niners enter 2024 as your Super Bowl 59 favorites at plus 550. That's in front of the Chiefs, who have won two consecutive Lombardi trophies looking for the three-peat, in front of the team that San Francisco lost to last year in Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. It is very notable how much the odds makers have always optimistically looked at San Francisco. That continues entering 2024.
Really is amazing. It's just remarkable how you could say, all right, we lost in the biggest game of the year, and yet we're the favorites to win it next year. Did we make any changes really this offseason? I mean, nothing wholesale that I think is going to all of a sudden make them better. It sounds crazy to say, but it's actually a little belief in that they don't believe in Kansas City because the roster, you know, seemingly on paper isn't exactly great, but obviously they got the job done last year. This is kind of not a make or break year for San Fran, Ben, but, you know, this is the year for me for Brock Purdy where all of a sudden, okay, now you're going to get criticized if you don't win. All right, 2 years ago, great story, coming out of nowhere, takes the job over, gets them to the playoffs, gets hurt against Philadelphia, they lose, nobody's fault. Last year, you know, similar situation, great story, you know, he kind of silenced some of the doubters, saying that 2 years ago was a fluke, blah, 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 blah. Good story, they don't win, but they get to the Super Bowl, okay. This year, though, with all this talent and being the overwhelming favorites, and they're going to be a favorite probably in every single game this year like they were last year. If you don't win again this year, then it's kind of like, all right, the great story for Brock Purdy is done. We moved on from that. Now it's you're here. Can you actually win a Super Bowl? Can we actually win a Super Bowl with this guy? If they don't win this year, you're going to have those discussions. I'm not going to say if San Fran's going to move on from the guy, but he's going to be criticized a little bit more. The Cinderella great story has been played out, and now we've moved on from that.
Yeah, you know, it is really interesting, Scott, because last year, San Francisco booked as a favorite in all 20 games. That included the Super Bowl defeat to Kansas City. The Niners were the favorites entering that Sunday back in February in Las Vegas. The 49ers are going to be, more than likely, I would believe, booked as a favorite in every single game this year. They host Kansas City in the Super Bowl rematch week number 7. In San Francisco, Scott, it's not the same equation as the Dallas Cowboys, but as we look at the two powerhouse NFC franchises from the mid and early 90s, San Francisco last won a Super Bowl in 1994, Dallas in 1995. The reason it's not a fair comparison is the Cowboys haven't even been back to an NFC championship game since 1995. San Francisco has been to 8 since 1994, including 4 of the previous 5 seasons. They've played in 3 Super Bowls since their last Lombardi Trophy in 1994, but San Francisco as a franchise, Scott, has yet to win a Super Bowl since 1994 and that last Lombardi Trophy now nearly 3 decades ago. I'm not saying we're going to use the same comparisons that we use for Dallas, talking about how fraudulent this franchise is come playoff time, never being able to step up on the most significant stages, but it's been a long Super Bowl championship drought for a proud 49ers franchise.
It has. And, you know, and listen, they found a diamond in the rough with Purdy, right? But again, if they don't win this year, you know, this is the same team that went to the Super Bowl and drafted a quarterback, moved up in the draft, as a matter of fact, to draft a quarterback. So would they actually move on? I don't know. You know, as much as Brandon Ayuk, you know, wants a new contract, right? Deservedly say, what if you're Brock Purdy? You're saying to yourself, you know, I'm getting paid less than $1 million a year. I'm clearly worth more than that. I might not be the best quarterback in the NFL, but I deserve more than what my contract states. You know, why doesn't San Francisco do what they did with Christian McCaffrey for Brock Purdy if they're in love with him? Rip up the years, or at least, you know, add on, give him an extension right now. Why wouldn't they do that if they believe in him? So they want to utilize the cap space as much as possible. I get that, but, you know, why help back to McCaffrey? You know, why help McCaffrey? Why bend over backwards for him but not anybody else?
Yeah, it is a reward of your player, Scott, like we debated yesterday and discussed, right? But it is interesting just where San Francisco stands entering this year. Some more conversation comes your way on Football Full Circle, live right here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live on Football Full Circle F. FC. Scott, it's also crazy when you look at the San Francisco 49ers, just not only in comparison to the Super Bowl odds in front of Kansas City, a team they have lost to in two of the previous five Super Bowls in the National Football League, but also what it looks like just in the NFC. San Francisco was plus 250 to win the NFC title. Again, they have played in the NFC Championship game four of the past five seasons. They have won two of those conference championships in those four NFC Championship game appearances. But they're plus 250 to win the NFC before this year even gets started, before we're even close to this year getting started. And the second best price is the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions at a 6-1 number. But the 49ers are half the rest of the field in the NFC as a conference. It's one team in San Francisco at plus 250. Double their price, add on a buck before you get to the start of the other 15 teams in that side of the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, we thought the NFC was bad last year, but the odds say it's even worse this year, whereas I actually think it's a little bit better this year. You know, people don't want to buy into the Detroit Lions, okay, but they had San Fran dead to rights, right, in the postseason last year at San Francisco. You can't pick a worse spot than that. So, you know, there's no reason in my mind why Detroit can't, you know, pull the trigger and actually get it done this year. I think Philadelphia's going to be better this year. Odds last year were pretty good for Philadelphia, but we've seen that kind of implode later on, but I still think they're going to bounce back. I think the Rams are going to put up a better effort this year as long as they stay healthy than what they could have done last year. We don't know. There's a lot of question marks with the NFC teams, Ben, whereas maybe we didn't even have those last year, but you know, if you told me that the Bucs would continue to play well, okay. I'm still going to be stubborn and buy into the Saints a little bit. Are the Falcons, yeah, you know, going to turn the page? So I do think there are a lot more teams capable this year of knocking off the San Francisco 49ers before they get to the Super Bowl, but clearly the odds don't reflect that.
Yeah, let's not forget, again, we're not going to get into the Dan Campbell debate once again, as we, you know, as everybody has since that day in late January, but the Detroit Lions did have a 17-point lead in that NFC Championship game before
second
squandering
half.
It. Yeah, second half 17-point lead before squandering all of it and having San Francisco come from behind to win the NFC Championship game a season ago. I say that not to, you know, talk about Detroit and their bravado under Dan Campbell, but just the idea that it's not a surefire thing that San Francisco is, let alone even going to be there. I think if you were to put the Niners up, Scott, against pretty much any other team in the NFC and what would be a best of three, best of five, best of seven series, I'd take San Francisco in every one. But the way the NFC, the way the NFL postseason works, of course, is one game, one bad game, one bad break. That's it for the 49ers. And Scott, it's almost like betting Scottie Scheffler to win a major championship or whatever golf event he's in right now because of how drastically short his number is in comparison to every single other player. It presents so much value to find, even if we expect the 49ers to be back in their fifth NFC title game in the last six seasons, to find that other team that's right there that you'll have a money line price on and you'll have profitability on by the time you get to late January. That's what it presents when one team is looked on so fondly by the odds makers.
Yeah, and don't forget, Green Bay had them dead to rights as well, yep, in the fourth quarter before they blew that football game. So that's what I mean about Brock Purdy. It's like, okay, give him all the credit in the world. Him and the Niners found ways to win both those football games. They didn't, though, against Kansas City, and if they don't again this year, then you just scratch your head and you wonder, what's gone wrong? I mean, they got all the talent in the world. The offense should be theoretically unstoppable. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. So I don't think they should be that much of an overwhelming favor. When everything is said and done, will they get there? Maybe. Maybe this is the boys, yeah, in Vegas' way of Ben saying, we don't want any more San Francisco money, right? But betting them now at plus 250 to win the championship, yeah, to me is silly. Yeah. How low are the odds going to go? So how great of a season can they have that it's going to go even lower than that? And how bad are the Niners and the Eagles and the Cowboys and all those other teams,
right,
going to be for that number to go even lower? So that, to me, they posted a number where they've said, I just don't want any more San Francisco money. So go find somebody else.
Yep, really good point, Scott. Really, really good point as well, because it's very interesting when you see that right now for where San Francisco is and maybe them just saying, listen, we need some action on Detroit. You don't want to believe in Detroit? At least here's a good price. All right. I would think from the odds makers' perspective, Scott, in that risk room, pretty difficult to get a bet on the Cowboys to win the NFC Championship game, yeah, despite the fact that Dallas is America's team. I wouldn't bet my worst enemy's hard-earned money on the Cowboys to win the NFC title game, because until I see the Cowboys even get to the NFC title game or pass the divisional round. It doesn't seem like a sound bet. I'm sure there is money elsewhere to be had on the Philadelphia Eagles, the Green Bay Packers, whatever team you might be optimistic on. But you're right. It might just be like, hey, San Francisco, we expect to be there. We got to get some other chump change somewhere else around. And that's, you know, always the interesting thing of where things stand this early in the offseason. Because that plus 250 price, Scott, even if you were going to cash that ticket, which as the odds makers would say would be pretty likely, that doesn't come to fruition until the end of January. You're betting something at plus 250 right now that you still need 17 games to be played, 18 weeks, and then three playoff games, maybe two playoff games, depending on if the Niners have that opening round bye, before the ticket is even back into your bank account.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wins that you need in order for you to really cash that ticket. And like I said, how great of a season will they be, will they have, rather, in that 250 now is going to be that much more of a bargain if you wanted to bet that, we'll say, the start of the postseason. All right, start of the NFC playoffs. Is San Francisco really going to be plus 250? You know, probably not, but I would think plus 175. You know, the fact that there's only one bye now, that really does change thing. Like, you're going to probably have to play three games, right, in order to get to the Super Bowl. To count on you being that one team with the best overall record, that I wouldn't necessarily count on that. So I don't think the Niners would be much more than a plus 175 favorite to get to the NFC, get to the Super Bowl. So you buy yourselves less than $1 extra right now and put your money away and risk injuries to Purdy or any of these other players? Nah, no way. No way.
Yeah, no way whatsoever. Scott, as we go around the NFL, we also had this conversation. It's contract news time in the National Football League, and we talked about some of the quarterbacks that might be in line for that big contract extension, Tua Tagovailoa being one of them. At mandatory minicamp in Miami yesterday, Tua had a Mike Tomlin-esque type of quote when asked about where his contract extension stands with the Dolphins, saying that he's confident it gets done at a certain point this offseason, but had this said, the market is the market. I bring up Mike Tomlin because the standard is the standard is something that he has often said at the helm of the Steelers. A very highbrow comment from Tua Tagovailoa. I wonder what exactly it means.
Yeah, it means, okay, if the going rate is about $45 million, then that's what I'm asking for. That's what it is. You know, he's clearly one of the better quarterbacks, even though I don't, as a Dolphin fan, personally believe in him. But, forget my feelings aside, he's going to be asking for, top dollar. And it's not like, don't hold it. Basically, what he's saying is, don't hold it against me. This is what teams are paying the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I am. So that's what I'm expecting. And eventually it'll get done. So yeah. I still would wait one more year. You know, that concussion thing to me. All right, great, he survived last year, Ben, but it's still hanging over you. You know, you sign a guy to that kind of money and he gets a concussion and, he can't play for the rest of the season and who knows for how long after that. That's a dangerous, that's a risk you're definitely taking with Tua.
Yeah, I mean, it is. While it's always really interesting to me, Scott, Donnie Wrightside brought up the same point on the early line earlier today about Tua Tagovailoa being the most confusing of some of the quarterbacks that we mentioned. And we listened to the clip from Tua meeting with the media yesterday, because the injury history for Tua Tagovailoa is very scary. And last year, he was not injured at all. Played the entirety of the year, looked healthy out there. Of course, the Miami Dolphins offense was fantastic, and Tua Tagovailoa led the NFL in terms of passing yards. And the Dolphins offense is always going to be looked at optimistically. We'll get into team success for Miami in just a little bit. But it's not like a quarterback dealing with a lingering knee issue or a lingering elbow issue or whatever it might be. Head injuries are still highly, highly uncertain and very, very different around the NFL. And that's what makes things even a little bit more confounding for Tua. We'll talk about it up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Talking about Tua Tagovailoa's incoming contract extension, we would expect. There's a couple of different angles to break down. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa, 2 years ago, sadly, concussion history that lingered over for Tua in the last offseason, where the idea of his football future and just his future as a human being in life was certainly part of the discussion. Last year, fully healthy for Tua Tagovailoa, led the National Football League throughout the regular season in passing yards. The Dolphins made it to the postseason, not their best playoff game appearance in Arrowhead on that chilly night against KC. But again, there are building blocks in place offensively for sure to like in South Florida. Now, as it pertains to Tua Tagovailoa's contract situation, Scott, still the head injury status is something that is very uncertain, and thus it is hard to truly understand how organizations, how individuals weigh that in to long-term contract extension conversations. If you're Tua and his team, you say, listen, I'm out here. I was fully healthy all of last season. I was ready to go. If you are the Miami Dolphins, this 2022 and how drastic that situation got 2 years ago, weigh into how you factor what is value, what is a good deal for both ends, I wonder.
Yeah, and you're paying a guy, Ben, even if you threw all that stuff aside, you're paying a guy top dollar for basically really one good year. And even that, if you look at last season, it's as clear as day. You know, Tua and the Dolphins are like the big bully down the street. They'll beat up on the little guy, and then when they face competition that's equal to them, they whimper. I mean, it's remarkable. Dolphins, 2-13 straight up as a road underdog. Tua Tags, 2-10 straight up on the road versus winning teams. Yet as a favorite, they're unbelievable. 13-1 straight up. I mean, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat, okay, but they clearly do not beat the teams that they're, you know, equal to. 5-14 versus winning teams with Tua. 5-14. They haven't won the AFC East in 15 seasons. Four of those with Tua as quarterback. Look at all the best teams they faced last year. They damn near lost to every single one of them. But then we're going to turn around with the, you know, the head issues being, you know, certainly there, but we're going to turn around and give this guy a top 2, 3, 4, 5 contract in the history of the NFL. I mean, it's just like the numbers don't reflect that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's that good. I really don't. You know, yeah. You might get to the postseason with him. You might win a division if things go the right way. But ultimately, are you ever going to win a Super Bowl? No. I really believe he's a product of that offense and the talent that surrounds him versus Tua lifting that team to higher standards than what it should be.
Yeah, you know, it is a good point, Scott, right? There's the health component of it. There's also, if you think that Tua Tagovailoa is your face of the franchise, is your face of the franchise in the way that you would pay him what the going market rate is right now, probably estimated around $50 million. That's another wrinkle in this conversation. Now, it is really interesting because Miami as a whole, Scott, like you said, those numbers as an underdog, those numbers on the road, those numbers against teams with a winning record are putrid. Last year, as an underdog, 1-6 against a spread, not covering by an average margin of 12.9 points per game. That's really bad. That's even like, hey, we came up a field goal short against Patrick Mahomes. No, you weren't even close to staying in that football game. They were the opposite of tightly contested. That's a bitter pill to swallow, frankly. And the question for Miami isn't necessarily what the offense around Tua Tagovailoa is going to do. It might be more on the defensive side of the football, but I think, Scott, the point you raise is very sound. Is it worth then, as Tua says, the market is the market, investing market rate at the quarterback position here in present time in 2024 on Tua Tagovailoa? Because if a contract extension is done, you would have to think it flirts with $50 million per year. Because, Scott, five quarterbacks, as we shared yesterday, make more than $50 million in the NFL as of this moment. Again, annual average salary basis. Joe Burrow the most, $55 mil. That contract extension done late last offseason. Jared Goff, $53 million. Second highest paid quarterback. That contract extension done earlier this offseason. Justin Herbert, $52.5 million. Lamar Jackson, $52 million. Jalen Hurts, $51 million per year. All three of those deals done last offseason as well. So you would assume, if Tua Tagovailoa is getting that extension this offseason, it's probably going to flirt with $50 million.
Yeah, it's crazy. You put him, I always kind of like it with coaches. You know, if my coach gets fired, would he get hired right away? You know, and if the answer is yes, we get a pretty good head coach. If the answer is no, it's like, well, okay. Same thing with a quarterback, Ben. You put him on the Washington Commanders, the Minnesota Vikings, the Carolina Panthers, you know, the Tennessee Titans. Are those teams going to be much, much better? No, they're not. No, they're not. You put the average quarterback, not an awful one, but you put an average quarterback with the Miami Dolphins offense, is he going to play a lot better? Yes, he will. So I really think Tua is the product of the Dolphins, not the other way around. And I know it's hard to let quarterbacks walk. I get that, but I would. I would say, you know what, play this year. Let's see how you do. If we win a Super Bowl or we really show improvements, then okay, well, we'll reapproach this thing. But otherwise, yeah, don't let the door hit you in the ass. See you later. We'll start all over again.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting, Scott, because then you run the risk, as you well know, that if Tua Tagovailoa goes out there, proves it once again, wins them a playoff game, you pretty much have to bring him back. Are you doing so at what is a new market rate? The market is the market once again, but you see Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love and guys like Dak Prescott maybe approach $60 million, and the Dolphins are like, damn, we could have got him for $48 million last year, paid out over the final year of his rookie contract, so on and so forth. That's where things get interesting. That's why it does pay to pay up earlier in terms of what that ask is then on behalf of the franchise, if you believe that insert X player is the future or a cornerstone of your franchise, certainly at the quarterback position. But that's the big if, I guess, in Miami right now, is if there is that true belief for Tua Tagovailoa. Scott, ultimately, do you think the Miami Dolphins do extend Tua at a point this offseason?
Yes, I do think they do. Personally, again, I wouldn't, but yeah, before everything is said and done, before they throw the first football the regular season, he'll be under contract, yeah.
Yeah, I love asking those questions, Scott, to Joe Lisi, because it's very fair for all of us to have our personal opinion on what we would do, but Joe doesn't at times realize that what he would do might not be what he expects the front office to do, which is always a very fun conversation on Football Full Circle. We continue that conversation up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, I think we have done this dance before, but it's probably worth stating once again. From John Ewing, who works for BetMGM, he does data and PR for BetMGM, of course, one of the largest sports books in this country. I'm pretty sure we almost had the same exact post at this stage last offseason. We transition to college football now. Colorado has the fourth most placed bets to win the college football playoff national championship. 4.5% of bets, fourth most, are on Colorado to win the championship at BetMGM. Their odds have moved from 200 to 1 to 125 to 1 to win the CFP national title. Here we are again, doing this with the offseason optimism on Colorado. And that's where it stands at this point in the offseason for college football.
That's amazing, right? I mean, it just goes to show, like, how many not fair weather fans, but just how many casual fans are now betting, because that's what's doing that, right? The wise guy, I don't think, realistically thinks Colorado's winning a national championship. You know, maybe they get to a bowl game this year, unlike last year. Maybe they get to 500 this year, but realistically, winning it all, you know, when you throw out monster odds like that, Ben, right? It doesn't take much. You want to put $10 down out of 200 to 1 to win $2,000? Sure, I'll do that. $50, why not? $25? So that stuff adds up, and he's made Colorado public football, absolutely. Whether the results will support everything when everything's all said and done, I don't know. But you want to pick a team now in June that you're going to put a couple shekels on? Give me Colorado. Why not? You never know with Dion. You buy in.
Yeah, I mean, again, I could not recommend against this strongly enough because I don't believe that Colorado is going to even reach the college football playoff, let alone win the college football playoff national championship. Maybe might not even flirt with bowl eligibility, but that's just my two cents. But you are right, Scott. It is the public attention. And if 4.5% of the overall bets, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if 4.5% of the overall bets and that entire amount of money, fourth most in the country around college football in terms of winning that national championship or coming in on Colorado, it's why the public really pays attention to the Buffs. It's why Deion Sanders has brought all the notoriety to CU. And whether it's a true belief that Colorado is going to win or a belief that Colorado might be able to contend or just you want to back the Buffs in some form or fashion, this is why those numbers move. And we talk often, Scott, okay, what happened on the playing surface? What happened in roster construction? What happened, insert X here, that moved these numbers? And a lot of times, as you mentioned, we were talking about San Francisco. Some of it is just the betting markets. Some of it is just the amount of money. Some of it is just the risk that now insert X odds maker or sportsbook operator is taking because people that we would not consider the sharpest or the brightest are betting so much money on Colorado to win a college football playoff national championship. It's not because the odds makers are like, ooh, I think Colorado can get it done this year. I think the Buffs are going to win the Big 12 in their first year back in this conference and truly knock off the types of Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, so on and so forth on their way to a CFP national championship. It's not the odds makers changing their assessment. It's the odds makers changing their numbers because of the betting public.
Yeah, and you wonder how a FanDuel still has him at 300-1. So those that got him at 200-1 should be kicking themselves. Like, where do you say, all right, we're going to risk because that's our business, but then we say, okay, you know what, we got to start lowering this thing because Colorado, God forbid, should actually not only win, but just getting a position. Now people start hedging and you're going to lose money as a book. So when do the books, you know, drop that number considerably and just say, we don't want any more Colorado? I don't know if it'll ever get to that point, but they got to drop it sooner or later. But I do think it's funny, you know. It's just like people betting on Arkansas in college basketball, same kind of principle, right? Okay, we got the head coach now, so maybe forget about the players. Let's just play a little hunch and see if things travel to Arkansas, and we'll see with Colorado. I don't know what they saw last year that makes them think they're going to be that much better this year, but they dealt with some injuries, but I don't know. With all the wholesale changes in college football, who knows, they'll bet. You know, you pick five or six of these teams, and you throw little flyers on them, and maybe you hit gold. Kind of like TCU 2 years ago. Right.
Yeah, you never know, right? There's the surprise teams that do have long odds that make us joking about the fact that we think Colorado has no shot look really dumb in 4 to 6 months from now. There's also paths that you can paint. Colorado's in the Big 12. It's a different conference in its first year. The league looks new. Can Colorado take advantage of that and find their way into a conference championship game and maybe grabbing one of those automatic berths now in the 12-team CFP era? Maybe. We don't know. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. Talk to you tomorrow, noon Eastern time, here on Sports Grid Radio.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.